Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, that's very familiar for us. The writer here said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So today, just from this and a few other scriptures, I want to talk about fulfilling your purpose. Fulfilling your purpose. Let's pray just one more time for the teaching of the word. Lord, thank you. This word, let us hear what it is saying today. Let it encourage us and challenge us. Lord, we want to be better. We want to do better. Lord, we want to work for your kingdom. We want to fulfill our purpose in your kingdom. So, Lord, today, Lord, just let this word find good ground in our heart that it could bring forth much fruit. We're going to praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands one more time for the word of the Lord. Thankful for his word today. God is good. You can be seated. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. The book of Hebrews 11, of course, is the faith chapter, the hero of faith chapter, and reading in these scriptures right here. A lot of times we wonder. We've experienced new birth. We've seen some miraculous things. We enjoy church. We enjoy this new life that we feel. We feel good about what God's doing in our life, but we still wonder, what am I supposed to be doing? What should I be involved in? Did God just call me to come and sit and never do anything, or do I have a purpose in the kingdom? And the short answer is yes. We all have a purpose in the kingdom. That's why the scripture would refer to us as a body. And there's no part of the body, there are parts of the body you can learn to operate without, you can learn to live without, but it's not the design. The design was the whole body fitly joined together, everything supplying what it's supposed to supply. We talk about organ transplants. People can live with, you got two kidneys, you can live with one. They can take part of the bottom lobe of your lung out, and you can still survive and live. But you'll never be 100%. You'll never be able to do all that you ever used to do. God designed the body, and He didn't put spare parts in. They're all there to work together for a whole and complete, thoroughly furnished body. And when he puts us into the body, then he puts us in here so that the body can be thoroughly furnished. Every saint of God is important. And that's what, if anything, Hebrews, to me, that it teaches me is that this great, he starts out saying, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Once we understand this, if you've read chapter 11, the writer, he names a few. He says, what more could I say? He said, he'd been talking about Rahab, and then he goes on to talk about Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. He starts naming some names, but he said, there's no way. There's no time. There's not enough time to start talking about everybody. And then he begins to throw in just a bunch of nameless people who, he said, but saints that they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight armies of alien women, nameless women, received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mocking, scourgings, imprisonments, bonds, stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered in sheepskin, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, dens, caves of the earth, and all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, even though they had not received the promise, because God was providing a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But he lists all these faith happenings, and that's where he comes into the next verse. So we've got this great cloud of witnesses, and seeing that we are compassed about, well, I don't see Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, any of those people. I've never laid eyes on them. I don't know who all these people are he's talking about, but he said they compass us as believers. Their stories surround us, and even nameless, their stories have encouraged many people in dark times and hard times. When the scripture of a great cloud of witnesses has been quoted and preached millions of times over, and as people have preached about faith, these nameless people have been, their stories once again have come to life in the house of God, where saints and people who are struggling could hear this, and they don't even realize it. Dead and gone, they have no idea that just the general telling of their story has impacted people all centuries after what they went through. And God allowed them to go through what they did. They went through it by their faith in God. A lot of it was because of their faith in God that they faced what they did. But every part of it was designed by God. They were never out of God's eyesight, never out of his earshot. He was still ordering steps back then. He still had plans for people back then. He still had thoughts. He thought about his people back then. Everything that they went through was for a reason. Every trial that David faced, everything that he, his victories, his failings, all those things, they were recorded. He went through them. They were recorded so that we could understand. We have an example. How many times have we talked about, and David encouraged himself in the Lord? Or David danced before the Lord with all his might, and we've been inspired or encouraged by this great cloud of witnesses. And that's what the writer said. Since we are compassed about, let us. There's a purpose for us in this, to see this and understand. We need to lay aside weights and sins, things that would throw us off track, and run this race that is set before us. What is my purpose? To live your life in Christ, to live that life of faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are living a life of faith. And whether we realize it or not, our presence, our walk, our battles that we have in faith affect other people. Maybe not the whole world, but people in your world, they affect. And when people see your steadfastness in faith through trials and tests, that's why you're here. And that's the fulfilling of your purpose. You wonder, Lord, why do I have to go through this? Because somebody besides you needs it. We are never just going through things just for our own benefit. Yes, it'll help us. It'll strengthen us. It'll benefit us. The Lord told Peter, he said, you know, I prayed for you that your faith fails not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You're going to go through something, but when it's over, use it to strengthen your brethren. What happens to you is going to cause a conversion in you, Peter, and use that to help other people fulfill your purpose. And so our purpose may not always be to travel to a foreign land or to plant a church somewhere or to stand even behind a pulpit or a podium, but it is to just live this life. Many of the people that we read that were unnamed, they were drug out of their houses. They were just living for God and got drug out of their house and had to stand before unbelievers as they were tortured but would not accept deliverance. And if you don't think that didn't impact some people, maybe some of them just didn't think about it, but some of them probably thought, you know, they didn't beg for help. They didn't cry mercy. They didn't ask to be delivered. They just stood there and worshiped God. I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, but if you ever want an eye-opening read Fox's Book of Martyrs and read about people just strapped to a stake and fire. They're just singing songs while they're burning up, like just washing their hands. It said in one place, one guy was just like he was washing his hands in the fire, singing praises to God until he collapsed and he was dead. It probably didn't, no screams of pain, no screams of torture, just praising God. Stories like that, these witnesses have encouraged so many people, and they should, because it shows us that God's a deliverer, but it also shows us that sometimes our purpose can just be to inspire people by our walk of faith. You know, it's not getting our name on the door. It's not getting a wing of the church named after us. It's not things like that. Sometimes it's simply steadfast in the faith. In an army. We talk about the army of the Lord, and the Lord talks about us putting on the whole armor. So we know sometimes we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, in an army, in a battle, as they go out, there are thousands of men rushing into that field. And some of them they're not generals, they're not officers, they're grunts, whatever you want to call them. But they are important for the battle. Their courage encourages others. You know, in the scripture, they were going out to battle, and they said, look, if anybody's a little nervous or a little scared, you stay back. They told, they would get in the army together, but if you got some fear and some cowardice in you, if we don't want you out there because you might turn flight and run, and that'll cause other people to turn flight and run. We want people that, no matter what it looks like, they're going to keep fighting and moving forward, because that encourages everybody else. And what I see, and the reason I think that I'm on this, is because I see, especially in younger people coming up, they're really about this. What am I going to do for the kingdom? And yes, I believe they should go to Bible college, take courses, take classes, have a desire, pray, get a burden for something. And if you go to missions, praise God, that's awesome. If you start a church somewhere, if the Lord calls you to do that, praise the Lord, that's great. But if the Lord never called you to do anything but be a pillar in your church, to be a faithful saint of God that was there to help, to lend a hand, to be part of the body, to supply needs that have to be fulfilled, but can you be all right with that? If you're, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord finally sits down on the edge of your bed one night and says, what I need you to do is be in this congregation, be in this life, live this life of faith, and work for your church. But what about? No, what about? This is what I want you to do. Can you do it? Can you do it? If God did call you to pastor, when he sends you to a place and you have 25 people and that's it, can you be all right with that? What if it's that 25 people he needed somebody to go to? He didn't want you to go somewhere and have 1,000. He wanted you to have 25 so you could look after them, you could encourage them. Could you do that? And so to fulfill my purpose, I've got to realize that there are witnesses. Yeah, there's David's. There's Samson's, there's Jephthah's, there's these names, but then there's also the nameless. I don't know how you decide what the density of a cloud is. If there's a, I'm sure there's some kind of media, you know what I'm talking about, weather ratio for that. I wish Grayson was here, I'd ask him. But the whatever it is that tells you how dense that is, you know, it's made up of, I know it's made up of moisture and particles and tiny, you know, it's all there like that. And so you can't count it. It's impossible. And it's impossible to count the number of saints that are just people who are on their bedside praying, who are faithful every service, who do the things that nobody ever sees them do, but it makes the church work. It keeps the body going. It helps some other saint stay alive and keep moving forward. That's what I want to be able to say I can do. I look at people that back from where I first got into church, and a lot of them were actually older, elderly people who simply told me their stories. I mean, older, little church mothers, grannies, whatever you want to call them. I remember Sister Morrell and Sister Levy Newkirk. Sister Levy Newkirk had, I mean, I'd rather sit down and talk with her and listen to her stories than anything. The things that she could tell me, and she didn't play music. She didn't ever get up behind the pulpit. She made great cakes. She made one of the best peanut butter cakes I've ever had in my life. Lived in a little house, a four-room house in Porterdale. And I would stop by and see her and her sister. People that most of the time were just, you know, not because nobody liked them, but, you know, they just maybe were overlooked sometimes. They were older now. But as long as they were able, they never missed church. They were always in the altar praying, always praying for people, and just, and I will tell you that for someone who didn't grow up in church and all of a sudden finds himself in that place, these little ladies were so inspirational to me, because they were telling me how to pray, telling me what to pray, things that God will show you. I mean, it was just mind-blowing, but it encouraged me so much, and I would leave her house and go home and go into my bedroom and lock the door and turn on some music, and I would just get on the floor and start praying, just pulling the carpet, because I wanted to see those things that they were talking about. It inspired me. And she found her purpose, and that was in her purpose in the kingdom. And like I said, everybody's not going to have just a title, you know. And, you know, hey, listen, I wouldn't do nothing else than what I do now. I love this. But back then, I wanted my pastor to live forever until the Lord came back, and I wanted to just, all I wanted to do was work in his church and help him. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want anything else. Just let me be here, Lord. I'm so thrilled with being part of the body. Just let me be a part of it and do and pray with people and encourage people in the church and be a help in your church, because I just wanted to be doing anything, sweeping the floors, cutting the grass. Back then, just whatever. If they were going to be meeting on Saturday, what are y'all doing Saturday? Oh, we'll come over here. We're going to wax the floors. I'll be there. We're going to cut the grass. I'll be there. We're picking up limbs. Okay, I'll be there. I didn't care. And, you know, if we can just realize that our purpose is to run the race. Our purpose is to be seen in that cloud. And, again, you know, sometimes you're the David in a cloud, or maybe you're the Samson or the Jephthah, but sometimes you're the one who had a testimony of not accepting deliverance. I didn't quit. You know, that's what he's saying. There are some people who never quit all the way up to their dying breath. They never quit. And that's what people need to see. I need to see people who won't quit. I need to see somebody that's going to stick it out. Fulfilling my purpose in the body is simply running this race with patience, laying aside weights and sins. People need to see your life different. They need to know, we talked about this the other day, living like you're forgiven. need to be living like we're forgiven. We need to lay aside ways and sins, because those things, they get us off track and we can't run properly. We need to do everything we can to run properly, run the race that is set before us. Don't try to run, you know, a lot of races. People, when they race, a lot of times on a track, they have lanes. You got to stay in your lane. You got to run your lane. They start you run in your lane. And you run the race that's set before you. You don't try to run somebody else's race. If you're a 100-yard dash runner, I don't know what they run now, or maybe you're a 440, whatever, but you run your race. That's what God wants you to do. Run the race that is set before you. Remember this great cloud of witnesses. Remember that. That's what you're going to be a part of. But then he says, ultimately, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he begins to describe that he, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He began to talk about what his purpose was and how he fulfilled his purpose. He was the Messiah, the Lamb of God. He had a purpose. And you know, but even Jesus, after being on this earth, he was born as an infant. He was raised just like we were. He was flesh and blood. He tripped. He stumbled. He fell when he was little. He probably got corrected by his mom and dad for grabbing things or knocking things over, doing things he shouldn't have done. He was a toddler. Toddlers are toddlers, man. If you got one, you know. You know, he had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn how to live. And he grew up. And then when he comes of age and it's time for him to start his ministry, he's doing miracles, signs, and wonders. He's loving people for 3 to 3.5 years of that time. In that open ministry, he's just not doing anything but good. He's doing what he was meant to do, and people didn't like it. They abused him. They came against him, and he was simply, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, giving hope to the hopeless. I mean, just over and over, great things. Yet, when it came time, even as he taught his disciples so at the Last Supper, he just let them know so many things and told them, you know, this is my body, this is my blood, eat it, drink it, this is what's going to happen. He was telling them things and letting them know, I'm telling you all this so you'll know it. So when it does happen, you'll know that it's God that's doing it. It's not something that's just happening. This has got to happen. But he goes to the garden and it says he's in agony, praying. Boy, if possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it won't go except I drink it, your will be done. I've got to fulfill my purpose. I've got to fulfill my purpose. In Matthew 26 and 54, they wanted to discourage him from it. He said, but if I don't go, if I don't do this, if I don't let them take me, if I don't go before them, he said, how can the scripture be fulfilled that it must be? This has got to happen. He said, if I don't go, if I call angels, if I do anything, if we fight against this, how can the scripture, the things that God wants to happen, how can it be fulfilled? Well, there wouldn't be. It wouldn't be fulfilled. And he would mention in John 18 and 37, to this end I was born. This is, I was born for this, I realize that this is my purpose and I am fulfilling my purpose. And so a lot of times it's not always about, Lord, why am I here? But it's why I am here. This is why I am here. Not Lord, why am I here? We serve the I am, not the am I. And so we need to stand on that. This is why I am here. I am here in this place to serve you. I am here in this place to work for the kingdom. I'm here in this place to run this race with patience. And yes, I have desires and I have dreams and I have things I want to see fulfilled. But right now, I'm going to run the race that is before me. I mentioned people who run these races in the natural. Oftentimes they're not confined to one race. They run different things. Sometimes they run a shorter race. Sometimes they run a longer one because they're good at both of them. But they have to run at that time the race that is set before them. If they're running a 440, they don't stop at 100 because, oh, that's your next race. This race is the 440. You can't say, well, I run both of them. You got to run the race that is before you. So you can't run somebody else's race. You've got to run your race. And realize that God orders our steps. You take steps in a race. They're faster. You're running. But it's still steps. And God sets that race before you and says, now run. Watch me, looking unto Jesus. Run the race that is set before you. And don't be looking off in the crowd. When he says run it, he means finish it. No doubt, if you watch sports clips or videos or things like that, everyone saw this. It was just a few months back, the ladies, that funny walking race they do, where they look so funny. They're walking as fast as they can without running. And that woman, I think, from Spain, she began to celebrate. And you could see in the background that there was another woman. She was just coming up through there, but this woman, she done pulled the flag out. She was celebrating, and all of a sudden, they show it in slow motion, and that other woman comes by her, and it's too late to recover. She can't speed up in time because it's right before finish line, and she lost her spot. She would have been third place, but she would have been the bronze medal. And won that medal for her country, and the look on her face when she realizes, see, she didn't run that race that was set before. She started pulling back, celebrating, coasting, and somebody passed her. And so we want to run this race and run it well. We want to run till we finish, till we cross the line where we can say, like Paul said, I have finished my course. In other words, I've run my course, the race that was beset before me. I've run it. I'm done, and I kept the faith. I kept my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I ran the race that was before me, and let me tell you something. Nobody is going to be disappointed to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I didn't get to the pasture while I was down there, Lord, but I guess I'll go on in. Let me tell you something. If you didn't do nothing but pick paper up out of the parking lot and you kept your faith and you worked for the Lord, you're going to be so glad to hear him say, well done. You're not going to have any regrets about being faithful and just being his servant, being a servant of the Lord. I want to hear him say, well done. He taught a lot of things, parables about things like that. And, one guy that, he only had one talent, so he decided to bury it. That's not what I want you to do. I wanted you to do something with what I gave you. Well, you didn't give me, I just figured I wasn't as important because you didn't give me five or you didn't give me two. And so I just give me one little measly talent. So, whatever, here it is. That's not what he wants. Run the race that is set before you. Well, we worked all day in the heat, and these other guys, they just came up right at the end. Doesn't matter. They ran the race that was set before them, and God's the one that puts us on that path. So why am I here? What am I supposed to do, Lord? Run the race. We get caught up sometimes. We're so busy trying to figure out what big thing we're all supposed to do that we're not doing the small things. It's like our dreams are so big, but we're trying to jump straight to the end, and we're not running the race. You can't just jump to the finish line. If you're going to get to the finish line, you've got to run the entire course. If you're running a marathon, you can't just say, pow, there they go, start, and then I'm just going to run to the, you know, I'm just going to jump to the finish line. Well, you don't. You've got to run the course, every mile, every inch of it. You've got to run every last bit of it, because that's the race that is set before you. And there is nothing more pleasing to God than for us to run the race set before us. And if there is that calling for something that's a little bigger, if it's, you know, if it is to the mission field, then guess what? On that course, you'll run right into it. If it's a call to pastor a church somewhere, you'll run right into it. Because that's what happened to me. I just kept running until I ran into it. And that's what the Lord will do for you. So, but I loved and love the Lord and love that call just out of darkness. The greatest call we'll ever get won't be to a pulpit, it's out of darkness. When God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that's the greatest calling anywhere. So, to get out of that, and then he'll place us in other places. You know, we'll get a call, you know, like say to some ministry, but there's no greater privilege than to just simply run this race with patience, looking at him, following him, keeping our eyes on him, and hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is fulfilling your purpose. It's the relationship that is fulfilling. That a lot of people have aspired, you know, to pastor and start great churches and do things and go under their own steam, and it never lasts. And it usually causes a great deal of destruction. It leaves a lot of broken people in the wake because it wasn't what they were supposed to be doing. And it takes a lot more to clean that up than if they had just done what they were supposed to do. All the lives that they end up wrecking, they could have just been an example to somebody of steadfastness and faithfulness. And if we truly don't put that much stock in that, why is it always at the end of people's lives that we go, boy, they were faithful? We wait till the very end and we go, oh, they were a rock, you know. Why didn't you acknowledge that while they were alive? You know, we need to know that's foundation. That's what, that's support. With people, faithful, strong people in the church that may never ever hold a microphone, teach a class, but they'll be praying with you in the altar. They'll be greeting you and welcoming you and talking to you and encouraging you and being friendly to you, showing the love of God to you. And man, we need that infusion. We need that infusion of grace and mercy and love and support from the saints. We're supposed to be helping one another and lifting one another up. And that can't all come from here. The body. You know, you could probably argue about whatever's the most important part of the body. I can tell you one thing, you can't live without your head. I mean, only in science fiction movies does that happen. But you know, if this hand is hurting, I don't get my head and go, I take this hand. And I do it. Or if my foot, you know, certainly it's like, well, the head's the most important part. So I would have to be broken half for my head to touch my foot. It ain't gonna happen. I don't know that I could ever do that, but I know I can't do it now. I can't hardly bend. I had to sit down and tie my shoes. But what I'm saying is that, yeah, this head, it's got the brain, the eyes, the mouth, it's all this, it's so important. Gotta have this. But it's not going to reach down and rub my sore foot. This hand, I'm going to reach down. And these other parts are going to go into action so I can take care of that. That's why every part's important. I need this. But, hey, if I didn't have a brain, nothing could tell my hand to reach down and do that. So sometimes we need the important parts. We need that. That. And when he says looking unto Jesus, guess what? He is, the body is looking unto Jesus, running the race, looking at the head, because he's the head of all principality and power. And that's what shows us how to help the rest of the body. That's why he said, you need to love people like I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. I'm the head, and I've shown you this is how you're going to help the body. That will fulfill your purpose. And you won't have to be always wondering, what am I supposed to be doing? If you are living right in the body of Christ, you're fulfilling your purpose. Now, you know yourself if you're running. that's a fact. You know, if God has been talking to you in prayer and waking you up at night and you're like, oh, not me, God. Well, you know you're running. But there's nothing, absolutely nothing. It's not lower. It's not more meaningless, nothing. No one, none of us are above the other. Our office might be different. And honor is placed where honor is supposed to be placed. We know that. But as far as being the body, we're not above each other. We're not lords over each other, masters over each other. We're all part of the body. All of us, we got the same Holy Ghost. We got the same Father. We're all going to hear the same words. Well done. That's who we are. We are workers together with Him. And so to fulfill the purpose, run the race. Be a worker. Do those things. And like I said, if there's something there that He needs specifically from you, you'll run right into it. You'll run smack dab into it, and you won't be going wondering, oh, why am I here? You'll know, oh, this is why I am here. I'm here. Sometimes you figure that out in little places along the way. You taught a Bible study to somebody, and they saw it. And you're like, that's why I'm here. You may have that gift. You're able to just really walk up to somebody and start praying with them and just lead them right to pray through to the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm here. Don't mean you got a website for it. Don't mean you got t-shirts that say, advertising who you are, any of that stuff. It just means that's what God has done with me. This is what I do. I found that out. I just realized, hey, I got a knack for praying with people and they receive the Holy Ghost. That's awesome, man. Everybody don't know how to pray for people like that. Some people, you're like, oh, you shouldn't pray for people. if you've never had those people grab hold of you, you've missed old-time church. Because I believe, Brother Shannon, I believe it was your dad, Brother Johnny, said one time, he said, man, he says, some people, they get the Holy Ghost in self-defense. He said, because then people turn them every which way but loose. Down there in that altar, then jerked them sideways and this way, and their ties sideways, and the shirt tails come out, and poured oil all over them and everything, man. And they said they had to get the Holy Ghost just so they could get out of there. I had a night like that. We were in down at a church. I won't call it because the church is a good church, and it wasn't a reflection on the church. But I come down. I was seeking the Holy Ghost. I was praying and. But I'm telling you, I was wringing wet and wore out when we left the church. And I didn't get the Holy Ghost. We was riding back, and the two brothers I was with, I was like, man. So the boy we was praying, and he said, I was just standing back there praying they'd let you go. He said, man, they was all over you. He said, I couldn't even see you no more. I said, well, that's the way they used to do it. But we've learned better. It didn't take that. But I, as the old song said, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Everything's a lesson. Everything teaches you. Why am I here? How can I fulfill my purpose? Run the race that is set before you. Remember, and this is, as Jesus was praying, and he's, He knew to this end I was born. He knew his calling, his purpose. That's why we can look at him. We look at him and realize that even when he knew it was going to be hard, he would still say, "Thy will be done." I don't know why I am right here, Lord, but I believe there's a why. And so help me to look at Jesus and remember that even if I am in agony, even if I know this is going to be very hard, I'm going to keep running this race with patience. I'm going to keep doing it. In Proverbs 20 and 24, it said that man, that's us, people, our goings are of the Lord. And how can a man understand his own way? We don't understand a lot of times where God is leading us. We just know he's leading us. And so, but the main part of that state is at the beginning. Our goings are of the Lord. We know that the Lord orders our steps. Our goings are of the Lord. God is going to lead us where he needs to lead us. That's what he's going to do. In Philippians 2 and 13, he said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And so you run the race that is set before you because it is God working in you. It is, look, there ain't no faithful saints without God working in them. That's it. Don't think, oh, it's just God working through pastors and evangelists and through the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting of the saints, but the saints also feed the ministry. And guess what? Being in the fivefold, part of that fivefold ministry doesn't exclude you from being a saint. You're still a saint, and we're still subject to him. And so it is God working through us to do his will. Running that race, every successful step that you take, when you fall and get up, that's God working in you. Yeah. When you don't quit, that's God working in you. God's not letting you quit. God's showing you, keep going. And that's what we learned from Jesus. Keep going, even though it's hard. So he said it's on the other side of the cross, the other side of Calvary, where that joy is going to be at. When you come out of that grave, when you're resurrected in that victory. So wherever you are, in Roman, and I know I got to stop here in just a second, and I'll finish with this. Didn't even get off this first page, but here we go. Romans 8 and 28, so familiar. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." That's it, man. Love God. That's the first and great commandment, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself, the second commandment. Everything hangs on those. But he said, it all works together for good to them that love God. Saints love God. People love God. We love God. So you know whatever's going on, it's going to work out for your good. And it says, and those that love God, they are the called according to his purpose. So whatever you're doing, it's on purpose. Wherever you are, it's on purpose. God had a purpose, and he put you there. So wherever you are is a purpose, has purpose, and you were called especially to and for purpose. Whatever you're doing has a purpose. Don't ever belittle your walk as, well, I just go to church. Man, faithfulness is so underrated and just... People just don't look. Listen, there's something to be said about faithfulness, consecration, living your life, letting a good light shine. And there's something to be said for that. But today people just kind of throw that to the side like it doesn't really matter. But that's what that great cloud of witnesses was. And back then, it wasn't a whole lot of preachers. I mean, you could. Even on that day of Pentecost, you could count that on one hand. I know I got to stop. I see people coming in. But they even drew lots. There was 11. They said, "Let's draw a lot and get this 12th one back in here." It was still 12. And they were the main core. But that was going to grow, but there was 3,000 added that all had purpose. We've all got purpose. So, sometimes on this path, this race, if it was like Jesus, mocked, betrayed, lied on, beat, crucified, but then victory. Because when you cross the finish line, it don't matter what you endured in the race, when you cross the finish line, that's victory. That's what Paul said. You can read, I got to stop. You can read Paul's journey and see all he endured. But he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He said, no matter what I endured through the race, when I crossed the line, that's victory. So run the race. If you want to fulfill your purpose in the kingdom and fulfill your purpose in the body, run the race that is set before you. Maybe that should have been the title today. But run the race that is set before you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for meeting us here today. And help us, Lord, to run our race, run it with patience, looking unto you, God, keeping our eyes steadfast on you, doing everything we can for the kingdom. We praise you for the call out of darkness into your marvelous light. Bless us as we go now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.